the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme.
Welcome to Dreams Not Memes podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of Dreams Not Memes. I'm here with my friend Tiffany. Tiffany is currently based in the States, but is from Malaysia. Today, we're going to talk to Tiffany about her experiences growing up in Malaysia and moving over to the States. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Anytime. So what was it like growing up in Malaysia?
Growing up in Malaysia, I grew up in a household that is very strict. And this is back in the 90s. I grew up where there's only TV. Computer didn't exist to me until like, maybe what, 95, 97, you know, when the first Apple computer came out. We didn't get it. I mean, like, I didn't have access to it till like 2 years later. And that was something, you know, new to me and entertaining. I grew up in a strict household. I went to an all-girl high school. Over here, like, we wear uniforms in our high school. So it's a completely different experience. I was brought up in a, like I said, I was brought up in a strict household. I am not allowed to go outside whenever I want to. My parents, they made me focus a lot on academic-wise, you know, being a typical Asian family, like we focus more on academic, more than sports. But yeah, other than that, it's I wouldn't say that it's a bad thing growing up in Malaysia, but I wouldn't say that it's the, you know, fun or like you enjoy freedom. Growing up in Malaysia is like a lot of household here in Malaysia, they are like really strict. Your parents, like you respect your parents, you if they say no, you don't argue with them, you just do what they say and, you know, stay home like that. So yeah,
I hear that. You know, I could definitely say that, like, American sky's the limit on both, you know, strict households and not so strict households. I completely understand that. And what brought you over to the U.S.?
I came here because I got accepted to Penn State. I applied for a bunch of college here in the United States, mainly because I wanted to go to college here. Typically what Malaysians do, if they can afford to study abroad, to go to college, to study abroad, they usually prefer to go to Australia or the UK, just because we were once colonized by the British. So our education system focused more on, geared towards more of British style academic curriculums. So I wanted something different, and the U.S. education system is completely different. It's geared towards more inclusive, you know, and like overall, like over here in the U.S., you even though let's say you major in an engineer, you are taking art classes, theater classes, music, you know, they encourage you to take an elective course. Whereas if I went to college in the U.K. or in Australia, if I major in mechanical engineer, I'm just focusing on mechanical engineer classes. I don't take like music that's not related to my course. I don't take like art, paintings, that kind. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here to States to study. And also I wanted to experience the American culture. You know, growing up, like our TV here, they show a lot of TV shows and movies from Hollywood. So I was like, wow, you know, the like you say, where it's strict or not strict, it's freedom of your choice. So I want to experience that freedom where I can go out and, you know, see what is it like, the culture here, like the mall culture here. Even the mall culture where people hang out at the mall here is different compared to how we hang out at the mall in Malaysia and going to parties and hanging out with friends. It's different, you know, the vibe is whole completely different kind of experience and culture experience.
No, I completely hear that. And what did you study at Penn State, and what was it like transitioning, you know, from Malaysia to the US?
So I studied advertising, and I also double majored in history. I have a great passion for history. And so coming to the States here, especially Penn State, like, it gave me an opportunity to learn about the Western history that I don't get from Malaysia. And it really gives you a whole lot of different perspective, you know, of how history is viewed by the person who wrote it. So like over here, you know, we experience, like what I experience is completely different from the history that people experience and learn in the States. And one thing I was surprised to learn is how you think that those people should know their stuff, but then you realize like they actually don't know, and you can't blame them because their school never taught them, or it's not mandatory, it's not in their curriculum to learn about stuff like this. Like, how many people you know, like, do you know yourself, like, have you heard of Malaysia before this, you know? Or
for me, I have, but you know, mm-hmm. I will say, I mean, other than the fact that, like, you know, we're friends through mutual friends and things like that, mm-hmm. Like even in a before Tiffany world, I think I had a biased or unique experience because, one, I was exposed to Asian culture, both Southeast Asian and you know, Northern Asian, from mm-hmm. a multitude of things. One, there were Asian people in my neighborhood. Two, I had someone from Burma, which I know is not Malaysia, in my Catholic school. My freshman year, I had a friend who was also from Malaysia. So, like, I'm very unique in that sense. But for the majority of Americans, I'm going to say America sucks at history, culture, and geography. So, and I don't mean that to sound bad, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I wouldn't say they suck. I feel like they're ignorant because how the education system allowed them to, you know, because for me, growing up in Malaysia, it's mandatory for us to learn geography. And so we learn about the different countries, the different weather they experience. And Malaysia, you know, like Malaysia is a country that has two seasons, hot and wet. So it's like humid hot the whole entire year round. And then we have the monsoon season. It just rains. It's like the weather in Florida or in Cuba or in Puerto Rico. And then coming here to the States, I experience four different weathers, or you could say three, because it's just winter and then summer and then fall and straight to winter. That's not really spring. But yeah, like I said, American culture is their education system kind of like neglect to educate the kids outside their world. It emphasized, I noticed that it emphasized a lot on how great America is, you know, like how great your country is, like what we have, we are proud of it. Which is great. I have nothing against that. But like also like I noticed that I came across a lot of people where I talked to, they have no interest in exploring or visiting other countries because they felt that this is a great country I live in, and why do I need to go out and see the world, you know? Whereas for me it's the opposite, like, oh, I learned about this in my textbook. This is such an interesting place that I learn about. They have four seasons. I want to go and see and experience it. So I put myself out there when I study abroad. So, yeah.
No, I completely hear that. Let's take a quick break and learn a little bit more about, you know, your culture and also just like what's happening in society around Malaysia. So.
Quick message.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Dreams.Memes. Please make sure to follow Dreams.Memes podcast on your preferred streaming channel or on Instagram at Dreams.Memes podcast. To support Dreams.Memes podcast, feel free to contact me at adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for advertising or sponsorship opportunities. Now, let's get back to the show.
Now we're back. So continuing our conversation, what are some highlights or things that Americans should know about Malaysian culture that most people don't know?
I'm glad you asked that question, because Malaysia was always, it's always something bad happened. It's always in the news for the wrong reason. Mm. Whenever people who came up to me and said, oh, yeah, I know about Malaysia. I heard about Malaysia on Zoolander. We're going to kill the Malaysian prime minister, you know, and or the MH flight that got the flight that went missing, or the flight that got shot down in Ukraine, you know. And it's sad, and like it frustrates me to hear that, like, you know, people, like I know friends from America who say like, yeah, I know where Singapore is, I know where Thailand is, I know where Indonesia is. And I was like, yeah, all these three countries are next door neighbor. We are in the middle of these three countries. We're next to Thailand, we're next to Singapore, we're across Indonesia, we are nearby Vietnam. This is just like a 2 hours flight to Vietnam from you know, the west of Malaysia. So yeah, and recently we are on the news again, this time for a good, you know, proud moment, because one of our actress, Michelle Yeoh, got won the Academy Award for Best Actress in that movie, for that movie.
Is it Everything?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything, Everywhere,
All at Once. And we just did it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's been in the movie industry for a long time, since like the 70s or 80s. Do you know that she was a former beauty queen? She was Miss Malaysia. She won Miss Malaysia. And then she got her, that opened up opportunity for her to go to acting in Hong Kong. And with Hong Kong acting experience, that opened up opportunity for her to act in the States. And she gained, attention in the States for that movie, Crushing Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But, you know, besides Hollywood movies, like Malaysia is also known for their food, for our culture, our enriched culture.
So yeah. What are some things that people don't know that they should know about, you know, Malaysian culture and their influence?
A lot of dishes are from, I wouldn't say it's from Malaysia. I would say like the idea came from immigrants from China or India, and they created something, the fusion, to make it work. And those people either were in Singapore at that time, who was, that is part of Malaysia. And then when we broke up with them, people try to claim like, oh, Malaysia created nasi lemak, Singapore created nasi lemak. So who knows? I don't know. But I can say that a lot of Singaporeans come to Malaysia to eat their food and say it's tastier. Mm. I went to Singapore, and I know they are much more health conscious, so they reduce like salt in their ingredients. They are much more health conscious, so it's less tasty but it's more healthy. So yeah, and then like we have cousins, like there's always those friendly feel, like how you guys in the States and Canada, like Canada is your cousin or your neighbor next door, like you have this kind of like friendly feel with them, you know. Our education system is better. No, our education system is better. Or our economy is stronger than yours. Well, you guys don't have better healthcare system. It's the same thing with Singapore. Like their dollar currency is stronger than Malaysian currency, but everything in Singapore is so expensive and their land is limited. So everyone live in a high-rise building and they couldn't really afford to buy a car, or else they come to Malaysia. They, you know, they buy our cheap gas, they, you know, they buy houses here, they spend their money here in Malaysia because everything is affordable. It's a trade-off, you know. So yeah, so I feel like that's one thing people should know, is like we are cousins, and whatever you hear outside in social media or you came across in your community that, you know, that there's something going on with Malaysia or Singapore, it's just a friendly fight that you have with your cousins, you kiss and make up after that.
True, true. And you know, that's a very good question, because we were talking about, I mean, a good point that you're making, well, rather, that's a very good point that you're making, because we were talking previous to this interview, and you mentioned that there was a comedian who was denouncing Malaysia and lost her social media account. Like, you know, based on like seeing that comedy, and I'll post a link for those that ask. I'm not going to post it because that would be promoting her. But if you, if you ask, you know, I'll definitely share the link. What was it like, you know, seeing one, her social media account get taken down, and just to see this person denounce Malaysia, because this wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Oh, this was recently ago, just last week, I think. So basically, this Singaporean comedian, Jocelyn Chia, she made fun of Malaysia, you know, like the friendly, yada, yada, like Singapore is better than Malaysia. Okay, whatever, not. But I think the trigger part was when she make a joke about how the recent MH flight in Malaysia, like, that went missing, and the tragedy, and she said that I wouldn't, you know, like, our jokes don't land. So I feel like that was, from my perspective, that was really insensitive, and I feel like she egged on her audience, and when she faced the backlash, she, instead of like apologizing or just moving on, or just, she could just remain quiet and just move on. She egg on the audience, and I feel like she's just creating, she wants attention. And so she knows that she's getting attention, and she's feeding to the attention, because that people giving her the attention is feeding her, you know. And she claims, like, you know, like, as a comedian, it's my profession to joke about things. So you shouldn't take it seriously. I mean, for me, if she wants to claim that from a professional standpoint, as a comedian, she can joke about anything, I would say that, you know, for her profession, she doesn't know who her customer is, who her audience, because your audience is your customer. And if your audience are not laughing, basically your customers are not laughing, they are not happy with your service or product, you know, you're providing. So her audience are not laughing. And she's just laughing at her own joke that she thinks it's funny, but her customers are not thinking that it's funny. It's just the same, like, if I work in retail, I'm selling something and a customer complains about it, I'm not going to dismiss my customers, like, yeah, you're right, I offer a bad service, I should improve myself, you know. People in retail would just say, yes, the customer is right, I'm sorry that I sold you the wrong size, you can exchange it. It's the same thing with comedians. I feel like, you know, you got to hold your professionalism, and if you did wrong, just apologize and move on. Now, should she be canceled out for that? That is up to her customers, her audience. Who are her audience? If the audience are, you know, who thinks that this service is bad, this comedian professionalism is bad, they don't want to hear it anymore, then she'll get canceled out, you know. From a personal standpoint, I feel like this is something really insensitive to say, because you're making fun of death, you're making fun of people who went missing, and these are people who have family members who hear her stand-up comedy and thinks that it's not funny, it's offensive. People are still moaning, you know, people are still grieving, in depression. This is small little things that adds up. This is the, you know, this is why we have a bully culture, and this is contributing to the bully culture here, enabling bullies like this, you know. Even though you think that you know, get over yourself, I didn't hurt you physically, but you hurt me mentally. And this is the, you know, I would say this is a bully culture, because people say words that hurt, words can kill. I learned about, like, kids in high school, they bully each other internet, you know, making fun of another person, their classmates, and to someone couldn't take it anymore and kill themselves, suicide, you know. So I feel like this was insensitive for her to talk about, to make fun of which is ironic because she claims that she comes from a developed country, first world country, but yet she acts as though like this, like her mentality wise, the way she talk and the way she act, that was juvenile. That was, it shows that you lack of empathy and compensation, and that's the fundamentals for being in a developed first world country. How could you not have those kind of skills if you claim you're from first world country, you don't have those empathy? And to clarify, you know, like there are other social media influencers out there who enable her too. I don't know if you noticed also, there was this comedian in New York City too. Her name is Chrissy. To clarify the fact, you know, from her fake news, she said that Jocelyn's Instagram got banned, and she said that her citizenship got revoked after that. That's not true. Wow. Jocelyn, she gave up her Singaporean citizenship way before that. She said that she's Singaporean because she identified herself growing up as in Singapore. She identified herself as Singaporean. This is the same. If let's say I become a United States citizen, I still wouldn't say that I'm American. I would say that I'm Malaysian. So she already neutralized and became a United States citizen a few years ago. And so that's irony because like she would go up on stage and at a Comedy Cellar and make fun of other countries, but she herself is no longer a Singapore citizen. She is an American right now, and she's making fun of other countries. And it's like, dog, who your loyalty is at, you know, like you're not loyal to Singapore. So, and Chrissy is just enabling her. It's like, oh yeah, you shouldn't apologize for saying what you say. I get it. Like over here in the United States, it's like freedom of speech, but Jocelyn can practice her freedom of speech because she is a US citizen. If she were back in Singapore, I don't think she's allowed to talk like that, you know? Like,
no.
Yeah.
And you bring up a bigger point, like, just because, and sorry to cut you off, just because you're allowed to say things doesn't mean you should say it. And secondly, it's not good to punch down towards countries and then use your platform as a comedian or any other type of creator to influence hate or to inspire bigotry and things like that. And like what this comedian Jocelyn said was not okay. I don't want to repeat anything she said because I feel like that would just actually like get more people to like want to find out. But the point is like, this isn't just unique to Malaysia. This is very common in any community that experiences any type of adversity. And to use people's struggle and then use that as a way to put them further down than they already are, or to use someone's experience and then make them feel inferior, in my opinion, is an act of cowardice. It's an act of racism, an act of bigotry. Right. And when people say, you don't have to apologize, you have freedom of speech, you're also enabling them to pretend what they're saying isn't wrong in the first place. And it is wrong. Because freedom doesn't always mean, all right, time to be a jerk.
Right. Freedom of speech comes with a price. You know, nothing is free in this world. Everything comes with a price. And that is why Malaysian, like, people want to criticize and say we don't have freedom of speech. But there is a reason. That's because we paid the price. We paid the price in May 13, back in the 60s, because there was a racial segregation situation where the Chinese was probably bickering with the Malay and say something racial and cause problem and saying something offensive. And there was bloodshed. People murder each other because of stupid jokes like that, racial jokes like that. And so that's why we're like, you know, you can't say this kind of stuff. It's, you know, there's a speech control here because we don't want to hear these kind of bullying words. And that's one thing I noticed here is like, yeah, I like that you guys have the freedom of speech here, but to a certain point, like I don't want to, like, you know how when your mom tells you like if you have nothing nice to say, don't say a word. And I think that rules applies everywhere. It applies to, you know, when you have a freedom of speech, it applies to that too. Like even though I can say whatever I want, I don't go out and say offensive stuff or stuff that's unnecessary or just garbage, because mm-hmm. what you say reflects inside of you, it reflects your personality. Is this who you are? Bully? Is this who you are? You're reflecting that you are not empathetic. You are not. You don't have empathy. You don't have compassion. Is this what you want to portray to people? Like, this just gives me a feeling like, if I met these kind of people who talk like that, I don't want to hang out with them. I definitely exactly. don't want to have them at my party. I don't want them at, you know, at a family event. I don't want them at my birthday party or weddings, because these people are definitely going to say something that steal the show or ruin a nice moment.
You hit it right out the park. I completely agree with that sentiment. And taking everything that you said just about Malaysian culture and its history, I mean, there's no way we could capture all of its history in one podcast episode. But
yeah,
what would you say about, like, the future of Malaysia? Like, what do you hope for it?
The future of Malaysia, it is growing. It's still growing. And mm-hmm. as much as people want to be skeptical and say negative thing about Malaysia, I am proud of Malaysia, of how it's growing. You know, it takes time. You know, like, people say, like, you want to grow fast, you want to grow rapidly, but I disagree. I think, like, you don't want to be a country where you are first class, you know, first developed world, but you have third world mentality. You know, you want to be up to par. Like, when you develop your country mentality wise, in your society, in your people, in your community, they're up to the standard where they develop too. They are like, okay, you build a high-rise building, it's nice, it's clean. You want your people in your community, when they enter that building, they're queuing up, they're not pushing each other into that building, you know. And Malaysia is a friendly country. I always encourage my friends, people that I meet across different countries, come visit Malaysia. A lot of people, some people are concerned, like, oh, do I speak the language there? Would people understand me? You know, we speak English. We were colonized by the British. We speak English here. So if you got lost, just ask someone. We it's mandatory for us to learn English in our high school. So we all know at least some basic English to go around. So I encourage people to come here, you know, explore our culture, taste our different kind of food. Well, welcoming. Come enjoy our weather. We have sunny weather all year round. You know, enjoy the food here, enjoy the culture here, enjoy the weather here, enjoy the animals here. We have a, you know, a lot of people don't know that we are a rainforest country, and so we have all types of different types of animals here. We have monkeys running around, big monitor lizards running around in your backyard. It's interesting, and it's mosquitoes. Yeah, all the fun stuff.
It sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, I haven't been able to do, actually, none of us have been able to do a lot of traveling due to other restrictions not related to this podcast over the past few years. And I definitely think Malaysia is on my bucket list of places to travel. So
yeah, hey, if you do come to Malaysia, hit me up. I would be happy to show you around.
Thank you. No, I definitely appreciate it. And I appreciate you dedicating your time to share your story and your experiences on Dreams.Memes. This has been a good episode. See
you. Yep.
Hi, this is Brian from A Day Without Love. Thank you for listening to Dreams Not Memes. I just want you to remember, your dreams matter. If you'd like to support this podcast, email adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for donation information, or follow me for weekly episodes. Thank you for listening and joining my journey. Have a good day.